And we'll go ahead and say our prayers as we begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, we ask your Holy Spirit to be with us, to guide us always according to the law of Christ and according to the law of faith. May your Holy Spirit be with us always and help us to not only understand your word, but to put it into practice through the inspiration of St. Paul. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Before we start with Galatians 5, I wanted to say one thing by way of a clarification, because I think it's the argument that we talked about. I think the more I explained it, the more I talked about it, maybe the more confusing it got. And I wanted to just try to sum up for just a moment why St. Paul was so concerned about this particular argument about faith in Christ, justification by faith in Christ, and not by works of the law. And we were contrasting the Old Testament law, the Torah, the covenant of circumcision, and so we were trying to distinguish these things. For St. Paul, he was speaking specifically to the Galatians, and he was making some very, very strong statements about circumcision. But let me take one step back, though. If St. Paul were to be speaking in Jerusalem to Jewish Christians, people who had grown up with circumcision, people who were very familiar with the Mosaic Law, I don't think he would have said it in the same way. For people who were Jewish Christians in Jerusalem or in Israel, for them, they just had always lived according to the practice of circumcision and the customs of the Mosaic Law. So for them, there was nothing odd about that. There was nothing unusual. For them, that felt very natural, and then coming to faith in Jesus Christ was just the natural consequence of everything that had been part of their culture, everything that had been part of their experience. They had been waiting and hoping for Messiah for so long, and when the Messiah came, then everything was fulfilled. However, for people where these customs were not part of their culture or part of their tradition, the thing I think St. Paul was battling against most specifically was his fear that they looked upon circumcision as the means by which they were justified. So if they'd say, okay, well, we want to practice these things. Well, I like to eat fish on Fridays, or you like to do this, or you like to do that. Well, who cares about some of these things? You know, and say, well, that's your custom. Well, that's my custom. Well, you know, I'm Italian. Well, I'm German. Well, okay, well, we have different customs that we come from. In the end, I don't think those particular customs are that big a deal. For St. Paul, though, the fundamental question is this: how are you saved? And if you are saved by faith in Jesus Christ, then you cannot say that you are saved by the works of the law by being circumcised. And that's, I think, the fear he was battling against so strongly in the minds of the Galatians, is somehow they thought, I need to be circumcised if I'm going to be saved. In other words, the Mosaic Law was necessary for salvation. And that's where St. Paul drew the line. He says, you can't, if you believe that you're saved by Jesus Christ, then that's it. It's not anything else. The rest of it is all accidental. That's your tradition. It's your custom. You can do it. You cannot do it. It doesn't matter. And we're going to hear him say in a moment that circumcision or lack of circumcision means nothing because we've been saved in Christ. Okay, so does that make sense? I just wanted to, it all has to do with how you're saved. And that's why he was so strong on that particular point. So let's now go to chapter 5, Galatians 5. And this is all a conclusion, you might say, or an extension of the argumentation he was developing before in Galatians 3 and 4, which was very scriptural. We saw all that appeal to Scripture, to the Old Testament, especially to the covenant of Abraham. We heard about freedom and slavery. That was where he really introduced that as a major theme when he was comparing Isaac, who was the son of the free woman Sarah, and Ishmael, who was the son of the slave woman Hagar. So we introduced this idea of slavery and freedom. So we start off with a lot of those very same themes. Galatians 5, verse 1, he says, It was for liberty that Christ freed us. So stand firm and do not take upon yourselves the yoke of slavery a second time. A couple things just about the words that are here. First of all, he talks about liberty or freedom. That's very consistent with this theme. He wants the Galatians to be free to worship God as best they can. It was for the sake of this liberty that Christ freed us. So Christ set us free. He set us free from something. Let's talk about what that is in just a moment. So stand firm. He's asking the Galatians to stand firm just as he stood firm. We remember back in Galatians 2 when he went up to Jerusalem. He talked about how he would stand firm, how he would oppose. He would stand firm in order to preserve the freedom of the gospel for the Galatians. For example, Galatians 2 verse 5. We heard St. Paul saying how he stood firm. So now he's telling the Galatians in chapter 5, you stand firm. You stand firm just as I did. And do not take upon yourselves the yoke of slavery. What is that yoke of slavery? He's referring to the law. He is referring to the law. This is what's amazing, is because we think about how the law came into being, how the Ten Commandments were given by Moses. What was the circumstance under which that happened? That was the time at which the Hebrews were enslaved to the Egyptians, and from a Jewish perspective, what would they say? They'd say, we were set free from Egypt, and then as a free people, we crossed through the Red Sea, and then God made his covenant to us with the law. So to the Jew, they would not say that you are enslaved by the law. So St. Paul is again using very strong language because he's referring to these Mosaic traditions, the Torah, and he's saying, don't take upon yourself the yoke of slavery. To call it a yoke of slavery, that's really a shocking thing. A yoke, that they might understand. There is this notion that in the Old Testament that there was always the burden to carry. There was the responsibility to live up to. But it would not have been considered a yoke of slavery. But if we were to go to the Gospels, remember how Jesus takes the same word yoke. You remember any passage where he talks about a yoke? Take upon yourselves my yoke? Because what is the yoke of Christ like? He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so this is a whole new experience. So when we come to Christ, we experience a new obligation, one that is light and one that is easy. Don't go back to the old one. Don't go back to what has come before now that you've reached the fulfillment. So then verse 2, pay close attention to me, Paul, when I tell you that if you have yourself circumcised, Christ will be of no use to you. Let me continue with verse 3. I point out once more to all who receive circumcision that they are bound to the law in its entirety. Any of you who seek your justification in the law have severed yourselves from Christ and have fallen from God's favor. Very good. So let me take those verses together. So here he's setting up a very, very strong contrast. You have to choose between the two. And remember the question I just posed at the beginning of this session is you have to say, who is it then, how is it that we are saved? Are we saved by Christ or are we saved by the law? You have to choose. You can't say that I'm saved by both. You can't say that justification comes through both. So it's one or the other. So he's really putting the Galatians in a position where they have to choose between these two. So if you choose circumcision, then what are the consequences of that? First of all, Christ will be of no use to you. Why? Because you've chosen justification by means of the law. And as he's reminded us before, the law can't justify you, so you're lost. So if you choose that, if that's what you've chosen, then Christ is no use to you. And remember, verse 3, if you choose circumcision, you have to follow the whole law. And maybe this was one of the things St. Paul is pointing out, that the agitators or the Judaizers or those the troublemakers, the people that Paul has been kind of battling with throughout this letter, maybe they didn't make that entirely clear. Well, Paul wants to make it utterly clear. He says, if that's what you're going to choose, if you're choosing the Old Testament, he says, then you take the whole thing upon yourselves. Don't just say, oh, and I'm circumcised, and that's enough. He says, if you're going to go back to the old law, you go back to the entire old law. And you're bound by all of it. And so he's really putting them in a very, very difficult position that is there. And any of you, verse 4, any of you who seek your justification in the law have severed yourselves from Christ. Even the language severed, anytime you see this notion of cutting and severing, it's going right back to the notion of circumcision. You're going to see that several times, that it being cut off and inscribed in the flesh, and we'll see that a couple more times in this passage. So there he sets up these things. You choose one or the other, and let me tell you what the consequences are if you choose the law over Christ. And that's where the difficulty comes in, is when they choose the law over Christ. Then verse 5, it is in the Spirit that we eagerly await the justification we hope for. and only faith can yield it. So now he's gone back to the positive end, says that if we believe in justification by faith, then see how this happens. It happens by means of the Holy Spirit, and it comes through faith. Verse 6, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or the lack of it counts for anything, only faith, which expresses itself through love. And now we get to the word love. This is going to be a very important answer, I suppose, to a question that's been kind of brewing. But let me step back for a moment to this notion of circumcision or uncircumcision. It doesn't mean anything. In truth, that once we're saved in Christ, then just as I said at the beginning, whether or not you practice this tradition or that custom or this custom, it really is unimportant so long as you hold one thing clear, and that's that we are saved in Christ. So long as Christ remains first and foremost, then the rest of it doesn't really matter. But notice how St. Paul is really putting them to the point. In other words, I'm putting this question to you. You have to choose either Christ or circumcision. You have to reject circumcision and the Torah and the Jewish law if you're going to choose Christ. He doesn't want them to waffle in here at all. But notice that comment, though. He says, but these things don't really mean anything. Does that make sense? I mean, he's kind of making this argument that is here, but he doesn't want to, I guess, leave the Galatians in a position where they can kind of fool themselves. In other words, he'd say, well, like, I'm going to keep one foot on both sides of the fence. Okay, yes, I believe in Christ, but since circumcision doesn't mean anything, well, I'll just hedge my bets. I'll play it safe. He doesn't want to leave them the room to straddle the fence by, quote-unquote, playing it safe, by doing a little of both. That's why I think in verses 2, 3, and 4, he is so utterly firm about saying, you must reject this, because he sees the great harm that has been done to the faith of the Galatians by the introduction of the old law, somehow putting that on par with Christ, that they have somehow, this has troubled them so much. He really has to do the very odd and unusual thing for someone like St. Paul, who was so steeped in the law in his youth. He has to do that odd and unusual thing of purging the law from them, the Old Testament Torah.